House Finance Committee. It is 6:30 in the evening. Present, for the record, we have Representative Moses, Davis, Williams, myself, Mulder, Vice Chairman Bundy, Coring, Osterman. We're also joined by Representative Sisto. We appreciate your attendance this week, Representative Sisto. It's nice of you to join us up here. The purpose of this evening's meeting is to take action on House Bills 231 and 232. I have had CSs, work drafts prepared for everyone. I hope they've had a couple minutes to look through them and review them. Before we start, however, let the record also reflect that Co-Chair Monterio is here. Before we start, however, I've asked Commissioner Condon to join us again this evening for a brief moment. Appreciate you taking time out of your schedule, Commissioner. If members would recall, several days ago, Commissioner Condon expressed some discomfort at the level of return that was anticipated by the combined savings accounts, and had concern how that might in fact affect the viability of our plan. Subsequently, I understand, Commissioner, you have done several runs on our plan.
Yes, I have.
And would you care to share with the committee what you found?
Yes, Mr. Chair, for the record, my name is Wilson Condon, Commissioner of Revenue. And in our discussion the other day, we really focused on two different issues. One was a target rate of return. I expressed my own reservations about a target rate of return of 8.25% under the capital market assumptions that we're using today because of the commitment that you would have to make to equities and the fact that I think that the legislation that's on its way, we hope to pass the Senate, already passed the House, simply wouldn't let you go that high anyway. And I offered the view that an 8.1% rate of return is what we ought to have as a target, and I still believe that. Now, then the next issue is, well, will an 8.1% rate of return as a target rate of return support the payout that you are aiming at under the provisions of House Bill 231, and it will. And the reason, and it's what it is 5.25%. And the question of, well, if you have an 8.1 rate of return, and you subtract 3% for inflation and 40 basis points, 0.4% for management fees, how can you possibly come up with 5.25? And you have to say, well, what is your 5.25? And it's really when you're just looking at these kind of trend line projections, and obviously the real world won't be trend line projections, but on these trend line projections, it's the value of the fund 4 years ago. Because what you're doing in the bill is averaging the market value over 20 quarters starting 1 year ago. And so if you count back, you know, it's really 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and 4 is the midpoint of that. And so if you, over time, after you work your way through the transition period, what the permanent fund staff testified to the other evening is in fact the case, that your actual payout rate will be in the median case something like 4.85 to 4.9% on average of the current value. And so what it really is a question of what are you multiplying 5.25% times. So your 5.25% payout rule will work with an 8.1% return target. In the median case, it's pretty robust, but obviously there are bad things that could happen in terms of inflation or bad performance of the equity market that would skew that. But that's going to be true of any approach you might take.
Thank you, Commissioner. Are there any questions for Commissioner Representative Osterman?
I'd like to hear your comment on the record of your last statement in reference to that any plan. Given the current way we've been doing things, if there's a major market problem compared to implementing something like this and having a major problem long-term, downturn. Do we stand a better chance with the way we're trying to set this up than we do currently?
I don't know the answer to that for sure. I'd make a guess that in terms of being able to make a payout from the permanent fund, you probably actually reduce the risk relative to the way we're doing things now. And I don't know that for sure. I mean, we've been very lucky over 20 years. We just haven't had anything very bad happen. And when you run these probabilistic analysis, like were in your package the other day and so on, you find that there's a fairly significant chance that over a 20-year period, things could happen the way we're doing them now, where we wouldn't be able to pay a dividend. And that's, things have just been so good in the 20 years that we've had a permanent fund dividend program that we all assume that things would just sail on like that forever. But they might not.
Any further questions for the commissioner? If not, thank you very much, Commissioner, for joining us this evening. It's a beautiful evening. I appreciate you giving up a little bit of it to join us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We do have before us the work draft. Perhaps it would be appropriate. Representative Bundy?
Mr. Chairman, I move as we adopt for our working document CS for House Bill 231 Finance. It's dated 5/14/99/H. Written by Cook.
Is there any objection to adopting the work draft as the working document?
Companion.
Hearing none, it is adopted. We'll take the next one pretty soon.
Chairman?
Yes, Representative Grusendorf.
Could we have a little bit of discussion on Section 10? I think all of us are familiar with all the other sections except that which is the question that will be presented to the Alaska public. Yes, it does pretty well outline the plan. I have some concerns about the reduction question, but just some thoughts of how it's constructed and whether we should spend some time maybe revising some of it.
Do you have any certainly, Representative Grusendorf, there are 50 ways to skin a cat, and there are probably more perfect ways than others. And there's no pride of authorship here. If there are preferable, better ways of doing it, I'm not opposed to suggestions. In attempting to construct the questions, I tried to put them out, lay them out as matter-of-factually as possible, so that it could be easily understood by most individuals attempting to read it. I would hope that people going to the voting poll would take the time to read it to try and become more informed or better educated on it. To that end, Representative Bundy?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Starting from the back and moving forward, just if I make a couple of comments. One, I'm pleased to see a yes or no option. I certainly wouldn't have wanted us to put something on the ballot where the people really didn't have an option. And having yes or no, I think, is important. And, well, that's a long ballot. I'm going to assume that this encourages and increases the likelihood that people will read an explanation of the plan, and part of them making an informed vote, of course, is having information, and they certainly have the option of accepting or rejecting. But as we do in an initiative, you have the explanation above the ballot, and then you just have yay or nay below it, and there may be more of an opportunity to skip over the verbiage and just go to the an emotional vote. I'm hoping that this, though lengthy, ballot would serve a useful purpose and that the folks would go through each item before they choose to vote.
Representative Davis?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm sure you'll get to it, but the effective dates of different sections, I think, for the public record, I think, should be clarified. Additionally, on page 5, paragraph 5, the permanent fund dividends, It reads, a guaranteed dividend is paid to qualified Alaska residents at $1,000 in 99, 2000, and 2001. I think there needs to be some clarification there where the permanent funds that are be distributed this fall are for calendar year 98 eligibility, but it really doesn't indicate. So it says for 99. So is that for 99 eligibility, or is that the ones to be distributed in 99? So I believe we need some clarification there. This is going to the ballot, and I think it needs to be as clear as possible to the voters.
I guess, Representative Davis, my only concern is people don't necessarily equate the fact that when they're getting the dividend this October, it was actually for their eligibility in 1998. I think they live in the here and the now. 1999 dividend is the 1999 dividend, and I'm afraid if we said the 1999 dividend for the 1998 residency might confuse that issue.
I agree. We can make it more complicated, or we can clarify too. I think if it said for the 1999 distribution, or I don't know. It's just a concern I have on the clarity of the issue.
Representative Bundy?
On the beginning of Section 10, it discusses that a special election would be held September 14th. And for the record, am I correct in assuming that this program would not go into effect until after that election has been tabulated, if it's approved by the voters?
No, if you look at the effective date, Representative Bundy, Sections 3, 7, and 9 of this Act take effect July 2, 1999. Sections 1, 2, 8, and 10 of this Act take effect immediately. So there would be an advisory election. And were the voters to turn it down, we would need to take action to reverse the actions we had done in adopting it.
All right, thank you.
Say that again, please. The majority of this plan or this approach takes effect either immediately or on July 2, 1999. If the voters were to reject this proposal, it would require subsequent action if we were to reverse this legislation. So it would take subsequent action to reverse what this has put in place.
So you'd have to go into another session, change it?
Or you could do it next year, yes. Representative Davies, I can see you have that look in your eye.
Well, I mean, I guess the issue that's going to be the confusion that's going to be caused by that is that if we were to adopt this bill, then we would have enacted a $1,000 dividend for this October, and then I think you'd be subject to criticism that you've already done it, and it doesn't matter. It's preconceived, predetermined conclusion. It doesn't really matter what the voters say. So it seems to me that it would be, even though it might be a little more, well, it wouldn't be substantially different than that, but I think in order to have a really straightforward proposition with the voters, that we should plan on having a special session to deal with it if necessary.
In what sense, Representative Davies?
If they turn down this plan, then I think that we should be coming back in special session to change the dividend rate, and we should tell them that we are willing to do that.
I would anticipate Representative Davies.
But I think that by setting it up in mechanically in this way, that you're opening yourself up for unnecessary criticism.
Representative Terrio?
I think I agree. I mean, there's going to be a lot of suspicion over this anyway, and the fact that something's there and they would take subsequent legislative action to undo just, I think, feeds that. And if there's a way of having the proposal work, even if it took a session after the vote and if it were successful action by the legislature based on the recent dictate or direction from the public, I think there's just going to be a lot of suspicion over the way it's proposed. Representative Davies, the reason that we positioned it the way we did was after consulting with legislative legal and basically being advised that you cannot tie the outcome of an advisory election to the enactment of legislation. You then are posed with how do you construct something that will take place so you don't have to make a vote twice. So that's what this attempted to do, was put it out there, have vote one vote. If they voted yes, great. If they didn't, we'd come back in. I anticipated, as well as you, in special session to reverse it and try and come up with something else. Representative Williams?
No, answer my question.
Representative Bundy?
And I understand that there may be some constitutional or legal problems about putting this in statute, but couldn't we, and I think we, I certainly agree that we would want to immediately come back into special session. And not only do we want to repeal and adjust the dividend, but we've got to adjust the budget, I think, if this plan is rejected. So could that be achieved through some letter of understanding, a commitment from the leadership that should a special session be required, that it's their expectation that it would be called?
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We also, you know, if there's an election, what it calls for September election?
Yes, September 14th.
Calls for a special election September. The major sections are due to go into effect immediately or July 99. So there's a couple months there, I would hope. Not too many wheels are set in motion to implement the plan before a special session is called, so I would assume that it wouldn't, but this thing is full of assumptions anyway, so that's just another one. I wouldn't want to see revenue gearing up and to start initiating the new plan, the new account and such, so anyway, it's just...
Representative Davies, yeah. Osterman and Bundy.
Mr. Chairman, have you checked with the permanent fund folks, the dividend division, to find out how much time it takes them to issue the checks?
To retool the checks? I have not, Representative Davies. I'm not certain how much programming goes into recalculating the dividend.
I think that's another issue that we need to... I understand... I think I understand why, you know, September 14th was picked, because I think the Division of Elections had something to do with that timing, but I would suggest that we ought to move that date up a little bit, and in deference to the folks that have to write the checks, especially if you consider, you know, the downside possibility that we have to come back in special session. It takes, what, 10 days, 2 weeks to call a special session? I've forgotten how long it takes, but...
15
days. That would be the end of September. People are counting on having those checks out in October. That just, from that point of view, it's not a workable schedule.
We can certainly consult with the permanent fund. I have a strong sense this will not be the last stop for this legislation.
I understand that, but I'm just raising some concerns here, Mr. Right. Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I think along with that question, that ties into the constitutional issue that that the chairman just talked about, that the people can't take money can't vote themselves more money. So that, I think, is covered in the Constitution. Your concern is covered in the Constitution.
No.
Yes.
No. That's not my concern.
I felt like a ping pong ball there.
The way that I've understood the Constitution to read, that we can't have our constituents vote themselves a pay raise or whatever. And your concern is under that portion of the Constitution.
That's not, Chair, that's not my concern is only a timing issue that has to do with, suppose that the people turn down, you know, when they vote on this thing, they vote no. And then if they vote no, then there's one of two things happens. Either we come back into session and change the amount of the dividend check, or if we don't do that, then under this law, the dividend would be $1,000. And that would be, I think, that second option would be untenable because the people just voted that down, and yet that's what we've set in motion. And the problem that I'm looking at is that typically the checks are issued in early October. There isn't really sufficient time without delaying the issuance of the check for us to come into special session, decide what the check, how it should be calculated, and have it issued in a timely way from the point of view of the traditional schedule. So it's not a constitutional issue at all. It's just a timing issue.
Representative Williamson, response?
I guess the way I'm looking at it is that, okay, today we are going to pass a bill that says this, let's say for this discussion, and we think it's right. And the voters, whoever, can go out and campaign against this so they can get the $700. And we still don't have to give out the $700.
I agree with that.
Yeah. And what I'm saying is that, you know, whether we have a special session right after or whether we wait until the session starts in January, we can fix that at that time.
How do you propose to fix it?
Other check?
If we all chose to do that. Yeah. But maybe, you know, there's too many variables in there, but we should not at this time say that as soon as the voters turn this down, that we're going to come back and go along with what the voters say that it should be. Well, we have to tweak it a little bit and fix that. Maybe they don't maybe most of the people that don't want to be here don't like this is reduction in spending. maybe they don't even talk about the permanent fund, you know, dividend. So there's a lot of these one through seven issues here that a lot of people may not like. And they may vote no on that reason.
Representative Davies, I will check with the Permanent Fund Corporation to find out on the timing of the checks to try and make certain that we have sufficient time. September 14th date was selected in consultation with the Division of Elections. So we'll try and marry the two timetables between the Permanent Fund Corporation and the Division of Elections. Representative Osterman and then Bundy.
My only comment was that you can very easily instruct the permanent fund dividend or the corporate board to send it out when they can get it ready. I don't, obviously, having it come out like it has in the past in the first 2 weeks of October is nice, but...
The other option, certainly, Representative Osterman and Davies, is they would be prepared to send out the $1,000 check if we came back in special session and there was action to reverse this, the outcome of the election, they could send a second check. That would be the other possibility. Representative Bundy?
Well, you'll get the definitive answer when you talk to the PFD people, but most of that disbursement in the first part of October is electronic transfer, and I would guess that it's a matter of just punching up the computer from one number to another, and they would have those numbers already figured, and they could just reprogram the computer rather quickly on that, and then the the mail out ones might take a little bit longer, but I don't think it's going to be the time crunch that perhaps we thought it was, but you get your answer from PFD people. Regarding the special session, we have letters of intent frequently that go with legislation. And I'm suggesting that we should have a letter of intent, because I certainly respectfully disagree with the representative from Ketchikan that if the people choose not to do this option, I don't think we've got the time to wait till next year and address our budget challenge. I would like to see suggest that we discuss a letter of intent that if this plan is rejected, that we would be our intention to come back into special session and focus on the budget.
Actually, I think that's a pretty good compromise, Representative Bundy. And I think that'd be appropriate if this bill were to make it to the floor tomorrow to have a letter of intent for purposes there, unless you want to try and craft one tonight for this committee. But
I don't have staff here. I sent them all home because I'm a nicer guy than you.
I think Representative Williams.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons we stuck on September 14th was in not having enough time after finding out what the results would be. I think we are considering a special session at that time anyway, or at least the governor has talked about bringing us in. He's been talking about it for the last month.
That's correct, Representative Williams. So there's a significant likelihood we might be seeing each other at that time of the year anyway. Representative Osterman?
Change the tone of here a little bit. One of the concerns that I have is we've lined out everything here, including the Alaska income account, the endowment concept, tied to how much money we're going to give out. I haven't run across very many people who have been an objection to the concept of the endowment and setting up the long-term funding source for whatever we do, whether it's a $1,000 or $1,700, $2,000 dividend. I'm a little concerned of tying that endowment concept to the dollar value of the permanent fund dividend and putting it all on one yes or no vote. You know what I mean?
I understand, Representative Osterman.
I don't know what they're going to vote against, if you know, or how you're going to determine. It's like Representative Williams was talking about a minute ago, whether they're talking about the dividend, whether they're talking about how much money we're going to cut or how much money we're not going to put into agencies, or what they're reacting to when they put a no vote on there.
My guess, Representative Osterman, they'd be reacting to number five.
I think they will, too. And irregardless of the decision on five, it should not kill the endowment.
I would tend to agree with you, but they seem to be, they're not inextricably linked. However, as I labored through that as well, when you go to the endowment concept, you have an amount of payout, you're going to then do some sort of recalculation of the dividend. Trying to do that is going to create some amount of havoc anyway. And I wasn't sure how you got there without trying to get the entire piece. Representative Grusendorf?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The plan itself, the All-Alaska plan, in my mind is a very simple and workable plan. And the question that we'd be presenting, likewise, does cover all the highlights of the plan. And we've been concentrating on, point five here, the dividend. And then what happens if the people vote no? How much of the existing plan could we continue? But if they vote no, then we go the problem with number seven, new revenues. I mean, should we have to find a way to accommodate the dividends and then still make the plan workable? Mr. Chairman, the question I think is simple. The complication comes in each one is when we go out to explain it to our respective publics. And I just want to make sure that if this goes down, that most of the plan we can try to salvage and work around that which is rejected. And I'm sure we'll be able to tell by what happens in our districts where we have to go, be it some form of tax.
Representative Osterman?
I was just thinking, I was wondering whether we couldn't take a look at somehow of Section 8 and 9 being effective October 1, or something like that. That would
to do that, Representative Osterman, I believe.
Time doesn't matter.
Oh, I see.
9 doesn't need to be. It's a year later.
Well, it would be if we were going to tie, if we were going to assume that they're going to vote on the dividend program itself, that I would want to tie them together. Let's leave everything else the way it's set up so that it could continue on. I mean, we can make the endowment work. It would take a lot of adjustment. It would take more cuts. It would do, I mean, there's a number of different things we would have to do to adjust if we decided that they're voting down the dividend concept, but the endowment could stay inactive. I mean, we could continue to use it, assuming that they're voting basically on the dividend. The way it's set up, I don't know if you can assume that or not. But.
Yeah. You still have to do a recalculation, I think, Representative Osterman, in terms of the amount of payout from the annual.
We can adjust that by statute. We don't.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, these are just, I mean, I'm rambling off the top of my head, Mr. Chairman, but it's.
Representative Davies?
I think that Representative Williams and Osterman has raised a good question, and that question is, when the people vote on this, what are they really voting on? And from that point of view, I think that we should focus on the issue that's in here, and that we should limit the bullets that we put in the question so that it makes it more clear what the vote is and what the result of that is, so that if we have to come back and deal with it, that we have some other options to deal with. Otherwise, I think it's going to really muddy the waters. It's going to be very difficult to understand what the mandate was. I mean, you've got a potpourri of stuff here. You've got 7 items, and everybody's going to be reinterpreting that vote to pick out the one out of there that they want, you know, to say, well, this is the reason they voted down. No, this is the one they voted down. I mean, it's going to be very difficult, I think, to figure out what the meaning of the election is if you have this many items in the list.
I understand that, Representative Davies, but absent that list, you're going to have a voter walking in, marking yes or no based upon what he saw on the billboard coming to the election poll, what push phone call he got the night before the election.
Mr. Chairman, I suspect you're going to be doing an awful lot of campaigning between now and September 14th.
Representative Bundy?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I look at this as a package, and we're going to start delineating down, do we have yes and no on each one of these bullets, and then some people come in and just vote no on taxes or... no on spending, or I mean, I don't think that gives us a clear message either. And trying to tabulate that kind of ballot and getting some guidance on it would be pretty challenging. I prefer to say this is a package. If this is not a package you want, then we need to go back to square one and start over again and try to come up with something that the folks will find acceptable.
Representative Grusendorf.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe I'm missing something here, but on the question, there are, I believe, several points that are not necessarily in the statute that we have here. For example, mentioning of the spending reduction, spending limit, and no new statewide tax. Perhaps maybe we could consider that might be in the sales pitch for it on a separate thing, but that necessarily is not, in my mind, written down in that which the voters are going to be voting on. I might be wrong, but I don't believe
You're absolutely correct, Representative.
And I think that might be, if we took perhaps those 3 elements out, but campaigned on it, that we'd be better off, because if they say no, what are they saying no to? And I think that maybe there might be several points that we might consider to be used in the campaign literature in behalf of the fund, or behalf of this plan, saying this plan does not have 1, 2, 3, and then use the other points that are really in the what we're enacting.
Representative Davis?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, that would be all right, but, I mean, let's all face the music. They're just looking at one. I mean, it's the dividend that people are looking at, the signature thing. I mean, that all dealt with the dividend. POM's dealing with the dividend. That's the key. I mean, 99.9% of the decisions are going to be made on that section that deals with the dividend and the impacts on the dividend.
I think we all agree to that.
I think it's important that we lay out a plan in here to include some of those. But
Representative Davies?
On that point, I heard more than one person say in the testimony that we had that they wanted a $1,000 dividend and an income tax or some other statewide tax. And for those people, they won't know how to vote on this.
And I also wanted to bring up the question of the date. I prefer to see the date a week or two before myself. I don't know if there's a timing problem or if it's just that's a date that we can have a vote, know the results, and come back and still do if there's a subsistence question and do both of those at once. I'd like to see a week or two earlier.
I believe the week earlier is the first day of school in many of the schools around the state. And if you got 2 weeks earlier, you might have a lot of people actually on vacation. That was the other concern that was expressed. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to anticipate a date where you'll have most folks home in Alaska again. Representative Williams?
I think, you know, this is a package, and I think in order to get all of this working, we've been through all of the information with our experts and what have you. Each one of these are very important to this package. And if it means that we have to go out and campaign, that's what it means. We're going to have to go out and campaign on these issues. They may be only looking at just the permanent fund dividend, but all of this ties together. If we don't do the endowment package, we don't have a dividend within 5 years, 6 years. If we don't cut our spending, the same thing happens. Everything ties together here. If we were trying to get around something here, we certainly wouldn't be here pushing, trying to get a spending plan, something similar to what we have in this piece of legislation today. We're just talking about the vote right now. So I think it all goes together. I mean, if there's anything in here that we can't support, then we should get up and say that right now. I don't support this because of whatever reason.
I think Representative Grusendorf, in partial response to your question or thought in relation to those parts are not necessarily included in the legislation. You're right, they're not. However, I have heard pretty loud and clear from a number of my constituents concerned about this proposal that they would feel much more at ease or comfortable knowing the fact that there was some constraint on government spending, that there were proposals or the plan did put forward additional budget reductions, and that they, you know, and I respect what Representative Davies is saying, but I've gotten quite a bit of feedback in relation to the tax issue. And so in my thought when putting this together was trying to put our best foot forward in relation to trying to get successful passage of this legislation or advisory vote. And that was with the spirit with which it was designed.
Mr. Chairman, my comments were not an objection. They're just an observation that we as legislators might be in should this fail. I want the vehicle, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bundy?
Thank you. I understand Representative Davies' concerns here, and it makes it more difficult. Are they 51% in favor of one item or another, and does that sway them? But I assume this election will be like a lot of elections for us and elections I've participated in. I voted for people that I didn't buy into 100%, but where they, where there are more positives than negatives for me, and so I voted for it. I dare say that there are probably people who voted for us who don't agree with us 100% of the time, but that's 51% of the time and saying, well, this is, weigh the odds and this is the way I want to go. To not take it as a package, then we take it as individuals, and I can see that a good many people vote yes on spending limit and leave the rest of them blank. Where, then what do we do?
Certainly. Representative Osterman?
Well, that is the question. If they voted down, what do we do? I mean, you know, there has to be, as they've been saying on the news, an exit plan here someplace along the way.
Well, Representative Osterman, you pose a good question, one that, quite honestly, I'm not certain at this point in time. I think we'll all, after the heat of the emotion of this last week and the next few days dies down, we'll ponder that option. But for right now, I can honestly say I don't know. There's going to be a lot of pressure on to make pretty large budget reductions. There's going to be a lot of pressure on to come up with some other solution. I'm not certain what the option is going to be because, as we've demonstrated through the use of the modeling, no one single option will get you there. You need a combination of the options. Representative Davies?
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess, let's make it more direct. I was prepared to vote to move the previous version of this out of committee. In the present form, I can't do that. Because the previous version didn't have a statement in it that there would be no tax, and it didn't have a statement in it that there would be a spending limit, which we haven't even discussed. This is a completely new idea. People have talked about constraints on government. I think there are constraints just from the plan itself, that there are natural constraints on government because there aren't enough revenues anywhere to go around. And the only way that we're going to raise any revenues if there's going to be an increase in government spending is to enact taxes. And that's, of course, something that politicians don't do easily.
Mm-hmm.
So to put those kinds of limitations in here, I think is going to lose votes in this committee and on the floor.
Representative Bundy?
Can I agree 50% with John? The spending limit, for the state of Alaska will be enacted. Well, that's predicting what a future legislature will do, and I don't know if that's a safe thing to do, or it's even honest or certainly not legal to bind the future legislature. But regarding the tax issue, no new statewide taxes are enacted as part of this plan. That does not tell me that taxes could not be addressed in any other legislation. It's just not part of this plan. And so I don't know that is precluding further action.
Representative Davis?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good argument. Binding another legislature? What in here isn't? Assuming we're going to bind another legislature. I mean, almost every one. All of them really are assuming that a plan is in place for, I mean, the cap on the dividend is 3 years. That's another legislature. So,
Representative Osterman.
I agree with the last comment. It's set up, spending the amount of dollars that we have, there is an automatic spending limit to start with. And I don't think we need it in here, and we are not going to enact a spending limit. I think there's only so much money we're going to spend it. That's your spending limit. And, there's nothing that says, and getting back to the taxes as well. I mean, 2 or 3 years from now, this statement won't mean anything if we enact new taxes, because we will be enacting new taxes to spend more money.
Representative Grisendorf.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're now focusing in on the spending limit, and some of you probably already know in the Constitution we do have a spending limit. And it was impossible to work with. It's very difficult to craft a spending limit. But if you set this endowment up as we have done, there is that spending limit, plus the discipline on the part of the legislative body. But to say here we're going to have a spending limit, I assume this would almost be a constitutional question. They just don't work. Because legislators come in, then pretty soon you start putting picket fences around things. Well, we didn't mean this. And we actually went to court and said, does it mean this, and does it mean this, and does it mean this? They don't work. So maybe that's one thing that we should consider dropping, is the spending limit thing, and depend upon the mechanism here to do that, plus the discipline that we have not to destroy the plan.
Right. And certainly, Representative Davies, the statement about taxes, I couldn't agree with Representative Bundy more. I think what this plan puts in place is a funding mechanism for basic level state funding. I don't know if that's a level of service that the people want or expect. If the people want more services, it is certain the options are out there or will be out there in the future. At that time, they can consider new revenues such as the statewide sales tax or income tax. I don't think that issue is going to go away today, tomorrow, or anytime soon, unless ANWR comes online and it's a big gusher. But I certainly don't see that taxes are precluded from this option. Representative Moses?
Yeah, by the way, number 7 is weird. I think it's very misleading. It would make more sense to me for number 7 to say that taking $700 out of your dividend check is a very regressive tax. That's what it is.
Well, let's put in no new statewide progressive taxes.
All right. I guess we can go start with amendments. Representative Terrio?
Before you do that, on page 5, line 4, the end of the sentence there, when it says, in substantial compliance with the election laws, why do we need to put the word substantial in there?
I believe the reason, Representative Terrio, is we do not have any proscription within statute for an advisory election. So there is no absolute compliance with election laws. There is, in this sense, just then substantial compliance. So in other words, we're going to have an election which will fall along substantially the same lines as any other primary or general election statewide would be held. But because there is no allowance for an advisory election provided for within statute, that's why those words are there. Representative Sisner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to ask, you may have gone over it, I didn't hear it. What would be, would there be a problem with having a yes, no on either all 6 or 7, depending upon what you amend this to, or on a group, so that you really do tease out both what the voter, what they care about, and also give yourself an option when, in fact, the body comes back together to know what parts you're scrapping and what parts you're not.
That's an interesting thought. I would have to consult with the Division of Elections. I think that might be difficult, but Representative Bundy?
Well, I'd just go back and just repeating myself. If we had each bullet, yes or no, I suspect we'd get a great many yeses and no other response on spending reductions. This plan has to be a package for it to work. I don't think the annuity works without reducing or capping the dividend. It does, but it doesn't bail us out. It doesn't work long term. We still end up in a very challenging situation in a few years, or the dividend goes away and we don't have enough money to fund state government without onerous taxes or onerous cuts. As I stated before, I think the package, if the voters reject this package, we need to, we've been thinking about this and discussing it for several years now, and we've got to go completely back to, out of the box, as they say, back to, I don't think there are any ideas that work if this package doesn't work, then we have to start creatively somewhere else.
Yes, Representative Sisner?
could I state that if the voter doesn't want to cap the dividend, and they do want an annuity or they do want the rest of the concept, then I think that's what they're saying is they want a tax. Isn't that kind of the next conclusion?
I don't think that's a safe assumption.
But the annuity does not work. We don't have enough money. So then that means we've given them a partial answer. You get an annuity, it takes care of the dividend and a little bit of government, but we go broke. We've looked at some of those scenarios. Instead of going broke in September, you go broke in December.
Representative Sisto?
Yeah, thank you very much. You have only certain cards you can play. And the cards are annuity, having a permanent fund, and I'm sorry to say it, taxes.
And budget reductions.
I know it's a bad word, but nonetheless, budget reduction, but there's, that says that we go to anarchy is kind of the... Is it not?
Representative Sisto, I think we heard from some folks last night that they believe that is a better approach.
I don't think that was the vote of the people, though. I think that was a hearing that was ill-attended.
In thinking about your question about breaking it out as yes, no, and each, I think it would give a false sense to people that you can pick and choose from this list. And my guess is people are going to pick just about everything but number five, vote no on number five, and because of that, they're going to vote no on the entire approach. I mean, the final question. I worry about that standpoint. Representative Corey.
I just wanted to articulate a few thoughts here. I'm impressed with the wording of this plan, even though I don't support the basic concept of the plan. I think that's been made clear here in the course of our deliberations and everything, but I just wanted to say that I thought this thing was, for a plan of this nature, it's very well articulated, and I'm certainly impressed with the verbiage in here, and I like the reference to spending reductions, the spending limit provision in here as well, and also the no new statewide taxes. The only concern that I have is that it does not clearly make the connection between the use of the permanent fund or for funding government. I know it's mentioned in item six here, but my preference would be to clarify that a little bit better. But I just wanted to go on the record to commend the folks here that are advocating for the plan here. If I were in support of the basic premise of this and I was pushing this concept, I think I certainly would be proud of what you produced here. So congratulations on this, even though my vote will probably be no. But anyway, that's all I have for now.
Representative Williams?
Can we hear from Representative Corrine about what he'd like to present?
Well, I know we've talked about that in previous meetings, even in caucus, as far as the numbers I suggested, and I think probably a lot of folks here would think they're draconian and would result in anarchy, as Sharon had mentioned, but I certainly would be happy to present some numbers here if you'd like to see that.
Representative, what bothers me about this, Mr. Chairman, we've been working on this for three or four months now, and we've had this bill before us all week, and you know, to come here right at the end of the, we're going to try to move this bill out, and say that, it just kind of bothers me. I'd like to have seen it early on, because this is one of the biggest decisions that we're going to be making here in the state, and for us not to hear all of the views, and this is basically what we're talking about now, getting more input from the people that it's going to be affected. You know?
Representative Williams, I respect that, but at the same time, Representative Corrine has made it abundantly clear to me that he would prefer doing far more sizable budget reductions and not taking this step at this point in time, so I take no offense at it.
I might also point out, Bill, maybe you weren't present at a couple of our caucus meetings months ago. 3 months ago, we started talking about ideas as far as going around the table and soliciting an opinion as to what plans people had and how far they wanted to go with budget cuts. And I submitted in writing to Eldon my plan. I even talked about that at caucus, and half the folks' mouths dropped open, of course, as far as the overall number. But I did put it in writing, and I talked about it in caucus as far as what I would like to see cut specifically and what those totals were. It did come to $617 million. And that was to be done in tandem with generating some revenue sources through land sales and selling off assets. And so I did have a plan that was presented to Eldon in writing, and maybe not in detail articulated to our group, but that was 3 months ago. And perhaps I haven't spoken as loudly and forcibly as I should since then. I do apologize for that if I haven't done so. But, but I think I've been vocal enough to get my views across on that.
I think people have understood it, Representative Corn. Representative Osterman?
I understand where Bill's coming from, too, but at the same point in time, in defense of Mr. Coring, Representative Coring, there's been no doubt in my mind that he thinks that we can balance this budget and in the future just by cuts, and that the we don't need to get into the permanent fund in his view, and that's perfectly fine. I mean, everybody's going to have their own view on this, and I respect Representative Coring for his views, albeit we don't agree on a lot of it. At the same point in time, there's never been a doubt in my mind where Representative Coring is coming from.
There hasn't been a...
Representative Williams?
I knew where Representative Coring was, but there's about 10 of us that worked hard on this for 2-3 months, and we made our voice heard, and that's why we're sitting here talking about it.
And I appreciate that very much, and I respect you for that wholeheartedly. Honestly, I do.
Page
9:30. On education.
Why don't we begin with the amendment process now, or the sunshine will be gone like it has for most evenings when we've left. And I bring the first amendment forward just as a proposal here. I'll move it and object to my own amendment just for purposes of discussion. I brought it forward because I heard two messages from folks around the state. They'd like to see some budget restraint, hence you saw the provision in there related to the spending limit, but also accountability. People wanted to know where the earnings of the permanent fund were being expended. Now, I put it in amendment form because I wasn't certain that it was a necessary component or part of this plan, but I put it forward to have as a discussion point. If members felt it was worthwhile adding, I could certainly support doing that. If they felt it was detraction, I was not opposed to not having it included either. Representative Bundy?
I don't think it's a distraction, but I think it's perhaps redundant because every fall we get a rather boring summary of the spending from the permanent fund corporation that lists the assets, and you know, it's numbers after numbers after numbers, and I don't know how many people bother to read it, but the information's there, and it shouldn't, I mean, it doesn't hurt anything, but I think it already exists.
You apply for the Finance Committee?
Representative Davies?
I don't think that the details that are called for in this amendment are in the permanent fund expenditure list. And that list would be an appropriation to state government. I think what's called for here is a little bit more of a breakdown as to how those would be used. While I would also observe that we do send out, we have legislative budget and audit that does an audit of state expenditures every year and lists those things. And of course, we publish a budget every year. You see all those black books over there? There's excruciating detail. One of the things about government is public accountability, and that's what this committee is, in fact, all about. We have public meetings. Every single penny that's expended by the state of Alaska is expended through this process right here in public. So that information, while it's not readily digestible by people, certainly, that's one of the questions I continue to get is, where you guys spend all that money? But the fact is that we do go through a very public process just for that reason, so people can get that information. There are many documents published. But having said all of that, I don't disagree with this amendment, assuming that it's going to be a relatively short list and isn't going to add volumes to the publication. My vision would be a rather succinct list of the basic programs for which that money was used, and I don't object to that.
Let me ask you a more pointed question about Representative Davies. Do you feel it adds anything to the ballot question?
I think it marginally does, because like, I'll go back to the statement I made a minute ago. One of the questions I get most often from my constituents in the grocery store, over the telephone, and emails, is something to the effect of, where does all the money go? And of
Of course, that's a very difficult question to answer in 10 seconds. But it is a question that a lot of people ask. They wonder, why do you need to spend so much money? It takes a little while. So I think yes, it would. I don't think it would be a big factor, but I think it would add a measure of comfort.
Representative Osterman?
I agree with Representative Davis. I think it would add that just a little bit. It's like everything else, that we get so much stuff in the mail to start with, and the only time people really pay attention to what you're doing with your dividend program is when they receive their check. And having it on the check,
this is on the application,
have a better chance of them absorbing it within the check. We'll have a better chance of them absorbing exactly what we're doing, rather than that glossy piece of literature that probably 85% of the people don't read anyway.
Sure. Yeah, Representative Osterman, I'm not certain it would necessarily be on the check, but
it's
it would be on the application as part of, part of the description. They have a description there of the hold harmless provision, how much of your check goes to hold harmless and stuff like that in there. It would be in that same. Representative Davis?
Good read, please.
Thank you. Representative Davies indicated, he can't, where does all the money go? He can't answer it in 10 minutes.
Ten seconds.
Well, if we don't adopt a plan, in a couple of years, we'll know where most of it's going.
It's gone.
That's right.
Going to dividends.
Mm-hmm. We have objections to
this? With that, I'll remove my objection. Is anybody else would like to? Is there any objection to amendment number one? Hearing none, it will be adopted. I'd like to move a conceptual amendment as amendment number two. On line, page 5, line 26, a rate not lower than 42% of the revenue from the fund's investments. Revenue is not technically the correct terminology there. And the what I would propose as a conceptual amendment would be to replace revenue with annual payout, because revenue reflects earnings. And what we're really talking about is 42% of the payout from the fund's investments.
Annual payout?
Annual payout.
Gross receipts.
I've been trying to think of a better way of expressing it, Representative Davies, and I've had annual payout or funds payout, but I was most succinctly captured in annual payout, unless you can think of another phrase, but...
Did we use that term in the bill somewhere?
I believe that portion of the bill. We go back to page 4, lines 17 and 18. The amount, it just says the amount transferred from the Alaska income account to the general fund. So it's just the amount transferred, so it's not specifically identified anywhere in the bill. I don't believe any other than that term.
Would it make sense to amend transferred from to be paid out from, or to make your amendment the transfer payment?
Yeah, so in other words,
keep it consistent.
42% of the amount transferred from the fund's investments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're using transfer on page 3, line 8.
Amount transferred. Okay, Char, did I actually move that amendment?
Conceptual.
Okay. Representative Davies, would you?
We'll let you change the concept.
Okay, I would move to amend that amendment to replace that language with amount transferred. 42% of the amount transferred from the fund's investment. Is there any objection to that conceptual amendment, the adoption of that amendment to the amendment? Hearing none, that amendment to the amendment is adopted. Is there any objection to the amended amendment? Hearing none, that conceptual amendment is adopted. Okay, that brings us to Representative Davies.
I thought we were going to turn in some amendments.
We'll do.
Okay, I'll move this amendment.
I object for purposes of discussion only.
The main, this is, again, on page 5, line 30, and it's intended just to add the words University of Alaska, but I thought then we should distinguish public school education. So before education, I insert the words public school, and after that, I insert the phrase the University of Alaska. Because I think that was in the plan that we saw, that was explicitly part of the essential part of state government.
While, Representative Davies, while I appreciate and understand that technically that's correct in relation to public school, I think by inserting that, you may inadvertently give some folks who don't support public school education a reason to vote no, and who might otherwise vote yes. And not intending to do that. Representative Terrio?
And Representative Davies, I think the Constitution, current wording in the state Constitution already speaks to that.
Speaks to what?
Definition of education?
Yeah, educate.
No, that state funds being used for education and that they can only be used for public education.
Yeah. Well, I use public school instead of K through 12 because I didn't want to limit the possibility of K through 14 or, you know, some of the other plans are preschool kinds of, you know, child care kinds of things that people are talking about. So,
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Davis?
I would think that the collective education would include anything education, including voc ed.
Could we say education including the university? I'll modify my amendment.
Representative Bundy?
Just for discussion purposes, again, to not knowing what the future brings, if we said and I don't know how far I want to go, primary, intermediate, secondary, and post-secondary, or is there a way to condense that to
primary through
elementary? Elementary, secondary, and post-secondary education, because it may be, you know, that there could be some new schools open, and we could use it. You're kind of excluding Amtech and things like that.
I was trying not to exclude.
Yeah, but I meant including the university. I'm sympathetic with what you're trying to do, and in my mind, education is K through post-secondary, but
we have two distinct pieces in our budget. We have a education expenditure and a university expenditure, and they're separate line items, and I just wanted to make clear that we're including both of those major line items.
Representative Davies, I appreciate, and I know that you've been an outspoken advocate for the University of Alaska. Certainly these days when I talk about education, I'm referring to K through U and any derivations therein, and I think most Alaskans are concerned about K through U. I think education pretty well encompasses that whole concept. So it's, in my mind, it's quite inclusive already. I battled with that same thing, Representative Davies, and ended up falling back with education, in my mind, really encompasses the whole concept of, you know, preschool through university. So,
Mr. Chairman, K through 20 would pick up the doctorates.
Yeah,
we've got to cut them off at 20.
And even though I vote against the amendment, Representative Davies, I don't want it to be reflected in any way my reluctance of supporting the university, because it is not that at all. I wanted it to be the generic catch-all.
Well, Mr. Chairman, with the explanation that education includes the university, I'll withdraw the amendment.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Davies. Representative Osterman, you have a conceptual amendment, I believe, for page 5, lines 15 and 16, to reduce basically subsection number 2.
Delete subsection number 2. Yes, I'll move that amendment.
Is there any objection to the deletion of subsection 2? Hearing none, that will be amendment number 3, I believe.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Davies?
I believe that there has to be a concomitant change in line 10.
Any state spending limit?
We'll adopt, Representative Davies, if we could just adopt the first part, and then we'll talk to that second. Is there any objection to the deletion of subsection 2 and the corresponding changes that would be required in terms of renumbering below? Hearing none, amendment number 4 is adopted. Representative Davies, in relation to the corresponding amendment on line 10, in essence, what the plan does call for is a spending limit. It is not a statutorily binding spending limit, but it does demonstrate constraint. Representative Davies?
I would move that we change on line 10, if you want it conceptually, so it would read, this long-range plan requires further state spending reductions and limitations on state spending.
Does everyone understand the proposed amendment? That would be amendment number 5, limitations on state spending. Is there any objection to the conceptual amendment? Representative Williams?
It sounds like it's redundant, isn't it?
No, no, what we'd be doing, Representative Williams, is the sentence would now read, this long-range plan requires further state spending... Oh, yay.
And a limitation on state.
You're actually... But, and fiscal constraint?
Yeah. Or just further reductions, period.
Oh, I see.
Or yeah, about just reductions and say limitations on state spending.
It is kind of redundant. Okay.
Requires further limitations on state spending, it seems to me, reflects more of what the plan requires. But.
Or just fiscal discipline.
There you go.
Fiscal discipline.
Yeah, would you care to define that for the people?
Well, Mr. Chairman, as you know, one of my concerns before was the spending limit and the impossibilities of getting that, and where you run up against the cap situation and other questions, and we've agreed with that. It comes down to spending reductions, and in the fiscal year 2000-2001, this body is capable of doing it. But I think we're really talking about fiscal discipline. I suppose you could talk about limits, but...
Yeah, I like in fiscal discipline, perhaps to put it back again toward a less... We're comfortable with fiscal. Most folks might not. My wife can't even say it. But perhaps spending limits or something like that. I mean, fiscal... what was the terminology again? Fiscal...
Fiscal discipline, spending discipline?
Fiscal discipline. Spending discipline. Representative Bundy?
Mr. Chairman, I don't like to be sensitive, but if we put that in there, it says we haven't had any, because all of a sudden now you're going to vote to require some. And there were, I think, a number of folks here have said you've had too much, and others haven't said you haven't had enough. And a lot of us have felt that we've exhibited
We've shown discipline.
Fiscal discipline. But I think for clarity, and you want a ballot that is going to certainly have that, what are you talking about? Well, you're talking about either that there's going to be further reductions or there's going to be a limitation on state spending. And again, I would encourage that verbiage that the long-range plan will require further limitations on state spending.
Mm-hmm. Representative Davies?
The way I had said it, it had state spending in there twice. Maybe it would be clearer to say this long-range plan requires further reductions and limitations on state spending.
Yeah, that works.
Okay, do you care to...
Because now I characterize the difference between those two things.
Sure.
Reductions are actual reductions in the budget.
Yeah,
limitations are reductions in rates of increase and all those other things.
So would you care to remove your... prior motion for the adoption amendment number 5?
Yeah, I'll withdraw the prior one.
Is there an objection? Hearing none. Representative Davies?
This long-range, so that we now read, this long-range plan requires further limitations and reductions on state spending.
Great preamble.
In the beginning, there were reductions.
You want to get away from the state, reduce state spending, the spending limit. That's what you want.
Just away from the concept of a spending limit, because I think they're unworkable. But to say as a goal that we want to keep a cap on it works.
This long-range plan requires further limitations and reductions on state spending. Is there any objection to that conceptual amendment being number 6? I believe that's number 6, isn't it? That's right, we were through number 5. It'll be number 5, new number 5. Is there any objection? Hearing none, that will be adopted. Okay, Representative Osterman.
Yes, I'd move conceptual amendment to page 5, line 25. After $1,000, insert for distribution, so that it would read, a guaranteed dividend is paid to qualified Alaskan residents of $1,000 for distribution in 1999, 2000, 2001.
Thus satisfying Representative Davis's concern that people might be confused? Sure. Representative Davies.
I move to amend the amendment by saying in each of.
Distribution in each of 99, 2000.
I'm not sure in each of actually helps, Representative Davies.
For distribution. In each of the years? You have to add the word years.
For distribution and distribution in each of the.
Does it add anything?
Well, yeah, because you could read the line as the dividend of $1,000 is going to be paid in those 3 years. You get $333 in each year.
It closes a fiscal gap.
Okay.
Or distribution each of the fiscal.
Or I guess you'd say a guaranteed annual dividend is paid.
How about Representative Davies? Alaska residents of qualified Alaska residents of $1,000. For annual distribution in 1999, 2000, and 2001.
That's what I think.
Okay. So there's an amendment to add for distribution. I will move an amendment to the amendment. Or has Representative Davies already done that? That's okay, Char. I'm not sure.
But if I did, I remove it.
Okay. Okay, I will move an amendment to the amendment to say for annual distribution. Is there any objection to the amendment to the amendment? Hearing none, the amendment to the amendment is adopted. That brings the final amendment. Right. Is there any objection to the adoption of that final amendment? Hearing none, that will be added as well as amendment number 6. Are there any more amendments to come forward? What is the will of the committee? Representative Bundy.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we move from Finance Committee CS for House Bill 231 as amended, 231 Finance as amended with attached fiscal note.
Hold that motion, Representative Bundy. For everyone's benefit, we are the fiscal note was not prepared because the Division of Elections did not know we were having an advisory vote put on this. We have, however, taken the fiscal note attached to Senate Bill 76 from the other body, and which reflects an $839,000 fiscal note, and assume that the cost would be the same for that one or this one. And I think $839,000. We have, yeah. Why don't, if you could pass these around, we were trying to have one printed up, but it didn't make it in time. So Char can pass them around. But that would be the attached fiscal note that would be coming from them, I would anticipate. Is there any discussion on the fiscal note? Representative Bundy?
Just to say that while it's a good bit of money, good government costs money, and public participation costs money, and I think it's the price we need to pay.
Mr. Chairman? Chairman, would you have Representative Bundy repeat the first part of that again?
Good government as defined by Representative Bundy.
Yeah, but good government does
costs
what?
Money.
Okay.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
Okay. Very briefly, what is contained within the $839,000? Contractual services to include ballot printing of 94,000, election boards of 334,000, advertising 22,000, shipping and postage of 131,000, polling place rental and setup 21,000, forms for 55,000, and microfilming for 3,000. Is there any further discussion on the fiscal note?
About advertising.
We have 22,000 for advertising.
It's there.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Grusendorf?
Was that fiscal note to just an election thing or a special election?
That was to a special election provided for, a similar advisory election provided for in the Senate version of this proposal. Okay. Any further discussion on the fiscal note? Representative Davies?
Is there any additional expenditure in the permanent fund corporation itself in setting this up?
I do not believe the Permanent Fund Corporation has provided a fiscal note to the Senate Finance Committee at this point in time. We will have somebody check that out, Representative Davies, but at this point in time, I don't believe that we've received any kind of notification, but we'll check it out.
Ask them for one.
Corporate program receipts.
But we will check it out.
Yeah, it'd be program
So why don't we stand at ease for 2 minutes while we... we've checked. There was no fiscal note provided from the Permanent Fund Corporation on Senate Bill 76. We will, however, Representative Davies, check with the Permanent Fund Corporation tomorrow and make sure that that is still consistent with this. With that, is there any further discussion on the fiscal note, Representative Foster?
On the bill when you're done.
Okay. Once again, then, back to your motion, Representative Bundy.
To repeat the motion, I move that we move CS for House Bill 231 Finance, as amended with attached fiscal notes from this committee with individual recommendations.
Is there any objection?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Corey.
I'll yield to Representative Foster for the moment.
Yeah, I would object, and I wonder if I could state why.
Certainly.
Just very briefly, haven't said too much here because I already know what the general feeling is, but I wanted to thank all of you, because I know we've been working on this for months, not me, but this committee has, and not only the majority for working so hard and coming up with this plan, but the minority members also for trying to make it a little bit more tenable. But, you know, being from the bush and being outnumbered here, I think if any of you can put yourself into my shoes sitting here right now, tonight, and look at this plan and look at this last page after reading this bill, on page 6 and line 5, should the state implement the Healthy Alaska Plan, I think if you are from Savunga or Nome or Kotzebue or Ambler or somewhere to the west or north of the urban areas, you'd recognize that this is the Healthy Urban Alaska Plan. This is a bad bill for my district. If you were the representative for the district that I have, you would say the same thing. You know, if this committee, on the other hand, was composed of
say 80 or 90% Bush people, and if I came up with a bill that came up with a long-range plan that just depended only on income taxes and nothing else, it would be as unfair to the urban areas as this bill is to the Bush. So I would object. I do know how hard all of you have worked on this all session. You know, as a matter of fact, I remember when I first came here in 1989, the current lieutenant governor made us all go to our districts and come up with a long-range plan because we had the same problem then, and that was over 10 years ago. We still haven't come up with a plan. I guess this is the plan, but it's not my plan, and I can't vote for it. You know, it's been mentioned a few times here, as I was sitting here, that we have to go as soon as the session's over between now and September 14th and campaign for this bill. But, you know, if I walked around like Chamberlain did with that paper he got from Munich with his paper in my villages, you know, I would get shoved around, I'd get pushed around, I'd get threatened, spit at, and even criticized. So I would object, and I am a no vote on this bill.
Representative Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't disagree with the previous comments, except to one limited extent. I don't believe that it's a good bill for urban Alaska either. And I don't, in particular, I don't think it's a particularly good bill for my district. And the reason is that while I believe that there should be constraints on government and that we should be careful about how we spend our money, the phrase that this plan has is that it says it has no statewide taxes enacted as part of this plan. That statement guarantees that we will not be able to implement funding for important things like maintaining our roads and adequate funding for the university system. Consider the debate that we had this session on just funding the university. The reason why we couldn't adequately fund the university is because there wasn't enough money. There are many people who believe that they would be perfectly willing to pay a little extra money in order to fund some of those things. And I just use that as one example. So I think that inequitable for the reasons that the representative, Representative Foster indicated. I think that to be equitable, it needs to have a balanced approach in terms of who's asked to pay. And I think this bill is not balanced.
Representative Grusendorf?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The process in dealing with the plan is not over. But if this was the plan and I had to go to my district, I always would tell my people in my district,